And welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And Meghna, our season of baseball misery is almost over. Next weekend, the Red Sox will play their final game of the season that many people will be happy to put behind us.
But wait, Anthony, haven't the Sox been playing pretty darn well? Winning five, count them, five games in a row, including the last two against the Yankees?
Hooray! Finishing strong, but still out of contention. But joining us now to talk about the resurgent, though not in time, Red Sox and the rest of the week's sports news is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey, Bill.
You're never going to stop talking about the Red Sox, are
never.
You?
Never.
I figure this is the final time.
I suppose
time
if
in
they
season.
Filed for bankruptcy, you might. But yeah. Otherwise, you know.
Well, we'd have
top
to talk
the
about
list.
The bankruptcy. But no, seriously, Meghna's right. So the Sox have been playing really well in this final set of games. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Reason for optimism for next season?
I think there's great reason for optimism in terms of watching wonderful performers at the ballpark. No question about that. Some people may have gone a little bit overboard with their praise of Jackie Bradley Jr.
Comparing him to Willie Mays.
And Roberto Clemente. This is a little silly. but, you know, hey, I got to say, I heard this on the radio broadcast the other night, and these fellas doing the broadcast see the team every night. So if they say he's as great a fielder as Roberto Clemente or Willie Mays, I got to take it semi-seriously, at least.
Well, I want to talk about the sort of group of younger players. You mentioned Jackie Bradley Jr. There's Mookie Betts, of course, and the shortstop Xander Bogaerts. Talk about Bogaerts a little bit. He seems like the real deal early in his career, also being compared to some big players of the past.
Yeah, do you think he looks a little bit more like an NBA point guard than a major league shortstop?
This is true.
Big, strong guy, hits really well, lead, 324, something like that at this point. He's one of the guys that you really, you know, come to the ballpark to watch, no question about it.
Yeah, first Red Sox since Ted Williams to record 175 hits in a season before turning 23.
And now, granted, this is one of these odd stats that people dig up. What does he do against left-handers on days when it looks like it might rain, but it doesn't?
Wait, I'm still stuck that he's not yet 23?
Yeah, yeah. No, this is great. Anthony is right. There are reasons to be excited about the future of this team in terms of just some great personalities and great ballplayers.
Big shortstop with a big bat. The Red Sox haven't had one of those in a while.
Unfortunately, if you look over at the other side, I'm going to give you a little quiz now. Who has the most wins on the Red Sox as far as starting pitchers are concerned?
I don't have a clue.
I knew you wouldn't know because nobody has more than 11 wins. And you don't win anything if you don't have an ace or at least a couple of guys who aspire to be aces and they don't. You know, they've Wade Miley, who's won 11 games. So that's what they're going to have to look at in the offseason.
Bill, we were riding high on optimism there. Now you're taking us back to reality.
Reality is an important concern, even for the Red Sox at
okay.
this point.
Well, let's take a look at other sports realities. And this one's coming out of the U.S. Appeals Court and a ruling today that gets to the heart of whether NCAA has to pay college athletes. And it's a ruling that sounds like an apparent victory for college sports, the establishment. Can you explain what's going on there?
This is a magnificently confusing situation right now. I have seen headlines coming out of today's decision saying victory for the NCAA, and I've seen other headlines saying victory for college athletes who wish to be paid for the use of their images, which the NCAA has not been paying them to do for a good long time, which is the source of some of these lawsuits. I think on the NCAA's side is the fact that they have been told that they needn't plunge into the business of paying college athletes right now. On the side of the athletes is a decision which says the NCAA is not immune from the Sherman Antitrust Act, and they cannot simply create their own definition of amateurism and plunge forward accordingly.
So it sounds like it doesn't do anything to really resolve the dispute about whether or not they are professionals or amateurs.
I think that's exactly right. The dispute is going to go on because there's several court cases still pending, and some of the stuff that came down out of the decision that we heard about today is going to have some precedent value for some of the decisions coming on in the future. But I don't really think we can draw any final conclusions from this right now.
Bill, finally, I want to ask you a little bit about the WNBA playoffs. I know you've been watching professional women's basketball, and there's an interesting question. Great competition going on. How is it that Boston, such a great sports town, does not have a WNBA team?
Well, first of all, let me say that I got involved in this because we did a story on the Liberty a while back. I've done actually a couple of stories on the New York Liberty, which they had a wonderful season, best record in the WNBA, made it all the way to the conference finals and then lost. And I've been watching those games, and the games have been terrific. Mm. The big difference between women's professional basketball and men's professional basketball is the women tend to make their foul shots, and the men tend to look as if they couldn't care less whether the ball goes in when they shoot from the foul line. I don't know the answer to your question, but I sure wish that Boston had a WNBA team. And all I can think of is that the people in charge of figuring out how that building where the Celtics play should be used in the summer have figured out that there are more profitable ways to use it than by having a WNBA team. But otherwise, I don't know. We have to go down to Connecticut and watch the Connecticut Sun play.
Well, Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear him every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and on Wednesdays here on Radio Boston. Thanks as always, Bill.
Thank you, Magna.